بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم جعلنا على هداك القويم اللهم جعلنا على صراطك المستقيم اللهم جعلنا متبعين لسيد المرسلين إمام المتقين سيدي ولدي آدم أجمعين اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا وقرة أعيننا وإمامنا وإمام المتقين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا. Oh Allah, teach us what is beneficial to us. Oh Allah, teach us what is beneficial for us. Oh Allah, teach us what is beneficial for us. And benefit us by our knowledge and help us to be of those that are close to you. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, improve our character this night. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, improve our characters this night. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, help us to love your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inwardly and outwardly and show that and express that through our deeds and our actions and our statements. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, keep us on the straight path and show us the way to you. Oh Allah, keep us on the straight path and show us the way to you. Oh Allah, keep us on the straight path and show us the way to you and forgive us of our sins and improve our state as an ummah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, guide the ummah of Muhammad. Oh Allah, take by the hands of the members of the ummah of Muhammad. Oh Allah, guide the ummah of Muhammad and take by the hands of the members of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make us of those that are pleasing to you, ya Rabbil Alameen, and pleasing to your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Continuing on from last week, we were looking at the Riyad al-Saliheen of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. And I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but Imam al-Nawawi, I believe I did. Imam al-Nawawi said in his introduction that anyone that reads this book and anyone that benefits perchance by something contained therein, and how could one not benefit when it's the hadith and the sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But if perchance one benefits and finds benefit from the text and from the compilation that he put together, that he asks that, he actually makes a request, and I'm looking for it right now to kind of get the exact wording of the Imam radiallahu anhu. He said, Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam, that whoever, na'am, وأنا سائل أخا انتفع بشيء منه أن يدعو لي ولوالدي ومشايخي وسائر أحبابنا والمسلمين أجمعين. So he said, and I am asking. So this is actually a request of Imam al-Nawawi, which is a really big thing. Imam al-Nawawi is asking something of us. And he said, and I'm asking a brother who benefited from any certain thing in this text that he makes or she makes dua for me, praise for me, and for my two parents, and for my sheikhs, and for all of the rest of those loved ones of ours, and for all of the Muslims. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the Imam for what he did, and to raise his station in his sight, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to forgive him of anything that might have come from him. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in the highest level of paradise. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the same for his parents. Ameen. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the same for his sheikhs and his teachers. Ameen. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of all of those that he loved, all of his loved ones. Ameen. In the same fashion, ya Rabbil Alameen. And for all of the Muslims altogether, including us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And that's what's called back du'aing, as opposed to backbiting. Because there are a lot of Muslims that have yet to learn that it is haram to speak about one's brother behind their back with something that they dislike, including myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate us of this sin. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts and show us the way to Him and forgive us of our sins. He says here, Imam al-Nawawi, and looking at the reason why he compiled this book, he said, that he put this book together because he thought it was a good idea to bring together some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that would be comprehensive in nature, and I'm translating directly from the Arabic, so please forgive my stumbling. That would be comprehensive in nature in order that it may be a way for its companion to the hereafter. In other words, the one who makes this book as a companion for them. And it's not this big. There's actually footnotes in this edition. It's a lot smaller, actually, if you take out all the footnotes. If you just look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a lot smaller than this massive work, although the footnotes are quite small. So it's not much smaller, I should take that back. It's a little bit smaller than this particular text you see in front of you. But that its companion, someone that takes it seriously and keeps it around with them, right? And as I had said last week, that you will not find a single masjid or a single Islamic center or a Muslim school or whatever it may be. Almost, I would say, you know, every single, but let's reserve a few, in the entire world, except that they have a copy of Imam An-Nawawi Ziyadat al-Salihin somewhere in the establishment. Even I found it in a masjid in West Africa in the desert. Looking around, you find copies of the Quran, and then, mashallah, a copy of Imam An-Nawawi Ziyadat al-Salihin. So it's a book that has been given acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's been accepted by all of the ummah, by all the ulama, for generations and generations and generations. Imam An-Nawawi passed away many hundreds of years ago. Many hundreds of years ago. And it's had that type of spread since that time until now. MashaAllah. May Allah be pleased with the imam. And he goes on and he says, مُحَصِّلًا لِآدَابِهِ الْبَاطِنُ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ. The purpose of these hadiths are to constitute a path for the ones that take it seriously to the hereafter. And they bring together all of the inward and outward manners. Inward and outward manners. Because there are inward manners in Islam, which unfortunately, again, many Muslims have neglected and have forgotten that there are inward manners to the deen. It's not just on the outward. It's just not how you appear. It's just not how your thobe, how long it is, or how long your beard is, or how tightly and nicely perfected is your hijab. There are other things beyond that, which in reality are the core and the essence and the point of Islam, is the heart. Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in an authentic hadith, narrated I believe by Imam al-Bukhari and possibly Muslim as well, in their sahih, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily indeed there is a morsel of flesh in the body. If it is rectified, then the entire body is rectified. And if it is corrupt, then the entire body is corrupt. Indeed, verily, it is the heart. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And there's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he says that verily indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your outward forms, nor does He look at your bodies, but rather He looks at your hearts and to your deeds. And so it matters what's in the heart. It really does. It really, really matters what's in the heart. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتُ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. That every deed is but, deeds are but by their intentions. And for every person they will have exactly what they intended. So you will have what you intended from this gathering. We inshallah announce, you know, to ourselves and make it known to our heart and make it known to our lower egos that the reason that we are here tonight is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please the Lord of the heavens and the earth and to get closer to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to have him to be pleased with us yawm al-qiyamah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we're here. And if anybody is here for a different reason, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change our intentions right now. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah change the hearts and change the intentions now so that we are here only for one purpose, only for one cause, and that's to get closer to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get closer to Him in this evening. Ameen. And he said, bringing together, another purpose of this book is to bring together those things that encourage and deter. Encourage, you know, that encourages you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and causes you to yearn and to hope for the hereafter and yearn for the Jannah and yearn for the paradise and yearn for closeness to Allah and desire closeness to Allah and want to be on the path of the Prophets alayhim as-salatu wasalam and want to be on the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, again inwardly and outwardly. And those things which deter, that cause you to be afraid and to cause you to be concerned and cause you to be worrisome about your state in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cause you to change your state because you're worried about what it is that you carry of sins outwardly and inwardly especially. And he said, وَسَائِرْ أَنْوَعْ adab السَّالِكِينَ. And saliqeen is a very important word here. That he says, and all of the rest of the mannerisms of those people that are traveling the path. And all the rest of the mannerisms of those people that are traveling the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saliqeen. وَمِنْ أَحَدِيثِ الزُّهْدِ وَرِيَاضَةِ النُّفُوسِ وَتَهْذِيبِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَطَهَارَةِ الْقُلُوبِ وعلاجها وصيانة الجوارح وإزالة اعوجاجها وغير ذلك من مقاصد العارفين. And he says, and of the things of this will be hadith about detachment from the world, which is zuhud. Detachment. In other words, it doesn't mean that one is not necessarily per se in the dunya, but their heart is not attached to the dunya. Because in fact, you know, if you were to compare this gathering that we're in right now in the plushness of this carpet, and I've got the double plushness because I'm sitting on this extra one, and then, you know, the beauty of these things and the, mashallah, the spectacular nature of our published books nowadays, and the fact that we have chairs, and the fact that we have clean clothing that was probably clean last night in the washing machine and whatnot. I mean, this was clean this morning in the washing machine, and it dried in the car as I was driving here. So we live a completely different life than the people of the past and than the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have so much na'im, so much bliss, so many blessings externally. You know? But if they're not, if we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, if we're not grateful for them, they're actually not blessings for that individual. They're punishments. They're a niqmah. Because if you're not grateful, it's not a ni'mah, it's a niqmah. Look at the Arabic. Ni'mah, blessings. Niqmah is like a punishment in a sense. Because if we're not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we don't have shukr and we don't have gratitude, then we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. As one of my friends, he likes to say, and this is Aaron Sellers for those that might know who he is, Harun. We converted to Islam together, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Beautiful brother. We used to be in a band together in 1993 and 1994, and we were playing on stage, and you know, we're trying to be wannabe rock stars, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us the guidance of Islam, alhamdulillah. So Harun, he always likes to say little rhymes that he puts together really quick, and sometimes they come out on the spot, and then they become something that becomes like a tradition between us. So one day he just came out and said, may Allah give us gratitude and help us to stop being so rude. May Allah give us gratitude and help us to stop being so rude. Because, and it doesn't mean necessarily rude with each other, because that happens, but mainly with the divine, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help us to not be rude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you wake up in the morning and you say, oh man, astaghfirullah, I have to pray fajr, you know, you're ta'ban, you're beat, you're tired, that's rude in the sight of the divine. That's rude in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should wake up, even though you're tired, and say, alhamdulillah, I have another chance to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have another chance to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have another opportunity for my sins to be forgiven and for me to have another chance to attain the paradise and to be closer in the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how we should wake up. Even if we're tired, we go against the self, we go against the ego, we go against those vain lusts and desires and those lower inclinations of the soul. So then he says, so hadith of detachment and hadith of riyadat an-nufus, training of the selves. Training. These are hadith for training of the self. Riyadat an-nafs. And Imam Ghazali has a whole book on that in his Ihya ul-Madin. Remember, we were talking today. There's 40 books in the Ihya ul-Madin, divided into four parts, 10 books per part. The first part is about ibadat, acts of worship. The second part of 10 books is about mu'amalat, or interactions with the creation of halal and haram and business dealings and transactions and all of those things. Then the third one is those destructive vices, those things which will destroy you, of conceit, of self-righteousness, of envy, of jealousy, of diseases of the heart of all forms and all kinds. And that's the third section of the Ihya ul-Madin. And the fourth section, the last 10 books, is about those saving virtues, like hope in Allah, fear from Allah, Tawheed, true Tawheed, that leads to trust in Allah and reliance upon Allah. That oneness, that monotheism that leads to having trust in only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and relying upon Him in all our affairs. That's the real tawheed. The tawheed that we hear nowadays is mainly people beating you over the head with their aqidah is right and your aqidah is wrong. That's not the tawheed we're talking about. Where a tawheed we're talking about is one that leads to a beauty in the heart. One that leads to a realization that there is no one that benefits and no one that harms except Allah in the creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have complete reliance and trust upon Him. That's the tawheed we're talking about. And he says, وَتَهْذِيبِ الْأَخْلَاقِ and rectifying and purifying character. وَطَهَارَةِ الْقُلُوبِ وَعِلَاجِهَا and purification of the hearts and their fixing. You know, their fixing. You know, remedies for the hearts. That's what this book contains. Remedies for the hearts to fix those things that are in the hearts. And how many of us pay attention to the problems of the hearts? How many of us really pay attention to the problems of the hearts? Everyone's looking right and left to see how the brother was praying. Right, to make sure that his hands are in the right position, to make sure that his feet are in the right position. But what about the nature of your salah? What about the quality of your salah? What about the quality and the reality of your standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is that? That's in the heart. وَسِيَانَةُ الْجَوَارِحِ now he says, and preserving the body parts. وَإِزَالَةْ إِعْوِجَاجِهَا and removing their crookedness. So preserving the body parts. These are hadiths that are talking about how we can preserve our bodies, you know, in the sense of from sin and from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love. وَإِزَالَتْ إِعْوِجَاجِهَا and a means and a way to remove their crookedness, the crookedness of the body parts. Not physically, you know, my arm is broken or something like that. That's for the doctors to talk about. But this is a doctor of the heart here speaking. That the crookedness in our sinful states, how to set those straight. And he says, وَغَيْرِ ذَٰلِكَ مِن مَقَاصِدِ الْعَارِفِينَ and other than that, you know, many other things, from amongst the goals of those that know Allah directly and intimately. Arifin, the knowers. In some translations you could say Gnostics, if you don't understand the word Gnostic with the wrong implication. Being that sectarian Christian group back in the past called the Gnostics with a capital G. But if you understand it as coming from Gnosis, which means to have knowledge and direct experience of the divine, then the word Gnostic is okay. Arifin. It's actually a very good translation for the word Arifin. But people don't know. They think this Gnosticism, you know, some ancient group, you know, sectarian group or something, which is not the case. But we're in a time that people don't have any discernment when they use words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Something amazing that we discovered today when I was sitting with one of our brothers here after Asr, or was it after Maghrib? I can't remember. But we were sitting and we were looking at Riyad al-Saliheen and something amazing appeared at something in the way that the Imam put the book together. That he has a section, he has a chapter on knowledge, on ilm, right? Which we did not read. And he calls it the section on the merit of knowledge, learning it and teaching it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning knowledge and teaching it to others and sharing it with others for the sake of God. After that chapter, he goes in to a chapter or a section called the praise of God and gratitude to Him. So after gaining knowledge, which is a great bounty, right? Which is a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you have knowledge, that Allah has given that to you. Then he has a chapter on gratitude, thankfulness, right? Then now watch this. The next section is what? Kitab al-Salati ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bab al-Amri bis-Salati alayhi wa fadliha wa ba'di siyaghiha. The chapter on sending greetings of peace and blessings upon the beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Concerning the command to do so, its merit, and some of the ways that you can do so. Some of the phrases that you can use to send greetings of peace and blessings upon the Prophet. Because would we have knowledge, and would we understand what it means to be grateful if it wasn't for Sayyidina Muhammad? Think about it. Knowledge, gratitude, gratefulness. And now we have to send salat and salam and greetings upon the beloved Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now watch. What's the next section? Kitab al-Adhkar, the section on making dhikr. How is it that you're going to benefit from your knowledge? How is it that you're going to be more cognizant to thank the divine? How is it that you're going to want to have the inclination to send greetings of peace and blessings upon Muhammad? By keeping your dhikr going. By keeping your dhikr going, all of those other things will come. So you keep the dhikr going. And he says, فضل الذكر والحث عليه. So a section on the merits of dhikr and encouraging us to do so. That's the name of the chapter. And we read some of those hadiths and verses last time. Although there's tons and many that we missed. But let me mention this one because I just saw it and I wanted to mention it today. But I didn't say it. It was actually after Jum'ah. This hadith came into my heart. But I saw people were engaged in dhikr and I didn't want to cut them off from that. But I wanted to share this. So inshallah, may Allah make it reach them. And many people know this, but as a reminder, because sometimes we forget to say it, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Allah, this is a beautiful hadith. On the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who was one of the closest companions to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam akhadha biyadihi wa qala, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. On the authority of Mu'adh, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam took by his hand and said, O Mu'adh, his name, by God, indeed, verily, I love you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying this. I imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took your hand and said, "Oh, so and so," and called you by your name, you know, and he said, "Wallahi, by God," he swore an oath, and then said, "Inni, verily I, la uhibbuk," and that lam is called lam al-muzahlaqa for those that know Arabic. It's the lam al-tawkid, also they call it the emphasizing lam. He could have just said, "Wallahi uhibbuk." But he said, Wallahi, inni la uhibbuk. You know, not la uhibbuk, astaghfirullah al-azim. That would be, I don't love you. But he said, la uhibbuk, you know, with the lam, which is added emphasis for the fact that I really, really love you, Mu'adh. I love you, Mu'adh. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took his hand too. Not only he just said it, not only did he call his name, not only did he put all those emphases with an oath of by God, but then he held his hand and said it at the same time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, now he gives the advice, the Prophet. Now, so that means this must be a really serious advice. He's giving it to someone that he intimately and closely loves. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Usika, I bequeath to you this very important legacy, basically, a wisaya, you know. I give you this, O Mu'adh, and he says, Ya Mu'adh, لا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة تقول اللهم إني أعني اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. And it's in Abu Dawood with the authentic chain. So he says, I pass this on to Mu'adh, do not leave saying this statement after every prayer that you finish. So every prayer, but also every obligatory prayer, specifically the five daily prayers. Never leave this statement, O Mu'adh. Say it every time you pray. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me, aid me concerning your remembrance and your gratitude and having thankfulness for you and worshipping you in a goodly and beautiful manner. Help me upon your dhikr, upon your remembrance, and help me to be grateful and thankful to you, and help me to beautify and make good my worship of you. Say that after every prayer. I mean, that's beautiful, mashallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to remember to say that after all of our prayers, inshallah. Ameen. So tonight, let's continue on. So he has a section on dhikr now at that part. And then he goes on, it's a very long section about dhikr. Then he says a section on dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting, and laying down on one side. With wudu or without wudu. And even during menstruation. Except the Quran. Except the Quran is what he says. فَلَا يُحِلُّ لِجُنُوبٍ وَلَا حَادٍ. For that is not permissible for someone in the major impurity state after having relations with one spouse or during menstruation. No recitation of Qur'an. And there's a big discussion of this amongst the ulama. And we're not going to go into that. It's not a fiqh class, although we could mention some of the opinions here. But some of them said that if you're, like for example, the hafiz, or you're trying to memorize, then it might be the case that you can keep up with your memorization, but you shouldn't touch a full mushaf. You shouldn't touch a full mushaf. But those are all details, like I said, in the books of fiqh. But unless you are in the major impurity, then it's simple for you just to take a shower and wait. You don't have to read Qur'an during that state. But he said to make dhikr in all of those states though. He said standing, sitting on one side, with wudu, with major impurity, minor impurity, or menstruation. Except the Qur'an. He gives an exception, except the Qur'an. That's the chapter title. Then he brings all the ahadith and all of the proofs and evidences into that. Then what is said when the Prophet ﷺ used to sleep and used to lay down to go to sleep. Then a section on the merit of having dhikr in gatherings. To have gatherings of dhikr, hilaq al-dhikr. And he said, and recommending the importance of such and never leaving it, and the prohibition of parting from those gatherings of dhikr without an excuse. Prohibition. Nahi. عَمْ مُفَارَقَتِهَا لِغَيْرِ عُذُرٍ. Without an excuse. That means completely leaving the gatherings of dhikr. So not ever being amongst Muslims that are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting the Qur'an, there's a prohibition, Imam al-Nawawi is saying, from parting from those gatherings completely. And it's recommended that you be with them and you stay consistent with them. And inshallah, this is one of those gatherings. There's many forms for these type of gatherings, but this is one of the forms for that type of gathering. Then the dhikrs of the morning and the evening. He has a section on the dhikr al-sabah wal-masa. Then more dhikrs about what the Prophet said when he went to sleep. Then a section on making dua. So now, when you've gained knowledge, and you're grateful and you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're sending salat and salams on the one whom this message has come through, and the knowledge and the gratefulness and the gratitude has come through him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through his agency. And then now you've engaged yourself in dhikr, and you're remembering Allah when you're standing and sitting and laying on your side and before you go to bed. Now he brings a section on calling on Allah and making dua. Praying to God. You know, this is different than dhikr. Dhikr is remembering God. Dhikr is calling on Allah. Dhikr is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a special section on asking for particular things in dua and how to go about making dua, supplication. So he has a section on that. It's amazing how he put this together, subhanAllah. And then a section on the merits of making dua behind people's backs. What I call back dua-ing, right? Instead of backbiting. And that's trademarked, by the way. Copyrighted. The merit of making dua for people behind their back is such a powerful thing. To make dua for them when you're not around them. To pray for your brothers and sisters in Islam by name and also generally for the ummah. And then he says a section on different issues concerning that. And subhanAllah, it's really amazing, you know, how Imam al-Nawawi put it together. And then after that, there's a section on the miracles of those people that are close to Allah, bab karamat al-awliya wa fadlihim, the merit of those people that are close to Allah, and that miracles that happen at their hands. And there's a whole bunch of hadith. There's like 6 pages of hadith concerning the miracles of those people that are closer to Allah, that are closer to the awliya. And all from Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, and all the authentic collections. And then, now I'll end with this, he has a section. He starts a new section in the book, those things that are prohibited, that are prohibited. And the first of them is the prohibition against backbiting and the command to preserve one's tongue. The prohibition against backbiting and the command to preserve one's tongue. After all of that, because I will tell you that your dhikr, that your knowledge, that your salat on the Prophet ﷺ, that you're doing all of this, is almost a joke if you don't be careful with how you use your tongue. So you're not careful how you use your tongue. Bab tahreem al-ghiba wal-amr bi-hifd al-lisan. Right? So prohibition is haram to backbite. Ghiba. Wal amr bi hifdhil lisan. And it's a command to preserve one's tongue. And he has a whole section on that. And I think the placement of these things, wallahi, it's tawfiq from Allah. It's something that Allah gave to the Imam and gave him success in doing that. Because that's not haphazard, I can guarantee you. He didn't just place things in any fashion just for fun. Oh, put this here, we don't know. There's a reason why the Imam is collecting that in a particular way. And Allahu A'lam, I don't know all of the wisdoms behind it, but I just thought it was amazing and I wanted to point that out. So today, we're going to talk about the merit of standing in the night in prayer. Doing Qiyam al-Layl, or Tahajjud they call it. Alhamdulillah. So, if I can get a brother, inshallah, to... Who's confident in their reading? Like Yani, can read in a confident manner. Parvez or
Adib is
good. It's all right. You're gonna. I'm talking. This is not Quran. This is Inshallah. You wanna read it, inshallah, for us? Okay. You have to read in a loud voice. You can sit there, inshallah. You can sit there, inshallah. I don't think he wants to. Here, we'll have another brother, inshallah, inshallah. Here, Hamid, can you do it? You can do it? I'll read one little paragraph in English, I mean Arabic, and you will read it in the English, inshallah. And this is the way of the scholars and the ulama, that they read the books, and they read them line by line, and then commentary comes after that. And it's the way of the scholars that we have studied with. So, I will tell you where to stop in the English, but it begins where that yellow little marker is, that paragraph. But let me read the Arabic first. Let me read the Arabic first, inshallah. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this is a book by Imam al-Haddad called The Book of Assistance. And it's a really good book, and I recommend everyone to get it. And it's drawn directly from the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَعَلَيْكَ بِصَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ فَقَدْ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَضْلُ صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ عَلَى صَلَاةِ النَّهَارِ كَفَضْلِ صَدَقَةِ السِّرِّ عَلَى الْعَلَانِيَةِ وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَنَّ صَدَقَةَ السِّرِّ تُضَاعَفُ عَلَى صَدَقَةِ الْعَلَانِيَةِ بِ70 ضَعْفًا وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِقِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَكُمْ وَمَقْرَبَةٌ لَكُمْ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ وَمُكَفِّرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ وَمَنْهَاةٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ وَمَطْرَدَةٌ لِلدَّاءِ عَنِ الْجَسَدِ. So if you can read, I think it's that whole paragraph.
Will you tell me where to stop?
Yeah, I'll tell you, inshallah.
Pray at night, for he has said, may blessings and peace be upon him. The best prayer after the prescribed ones is the nighttime prayer. And the superiority of nighttime over daytime prayers is like the superiority of concealed over public charity. And it has been related that concealed charity is 70 times better than public charity. He has said, may blessings and peace be upon him.
Salallah.
Keep rising on prayer at night, for it was the way of the virtuous who came before you. It draws you nearer to your Lord, atones for your sins, forbids you from evil, and protects the body from sickness.
Allahu Akbar, mashallah. One more time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what was that last thing?
He has said, may blessings and peace be upon him.
Sallallahu.
Keep rising in prayer at night, for it was the way of the virtuous who came before you. It draws you nearer to your Lord, atones for your sins, forbids you from evil, and protects the body from sickness.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. That's beautiful, MashaAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these hadiths is telling us that the night prayer is the best prayer that one can engage in after the obligatory prayer. The night prayer is the best prayer that one can engage in after the obligatory 5 daily prayers. It has a great station in Islam, and it will become clearer and clearer as we go through this section, inshallah. If you could pass the book on to Adil, he'll read the next part, inshallah. But show him where it is, though. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَنْ صَلَّى بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ فَقَدْ قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَقَدْ كَانَ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ يُصَلِّي وِرْدَهُ مِنْ أَوَّلِ اللَّيْلِ وَلَكِنْ فِي الْقِيَامِ بَعْدَ النَّوْمِ إِرْغَامٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَمُجَاهَدَ لِلنَّفْسِ وَسِرٌّ عَجِيبٌ وَهُوَ التَّهَجُّدُ الَّذِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ رَسُولَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي قَوْلِهِ وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ وفي المأثور أن الله يعجب يعجب من العبد إذا قام من على فراشه وبين أهله إلى صلاته ويباهي به ملائكته ويقبل عليه بوجهه الكريم. So if you read the next part, inshallah.
And protect the body from sickness.
Right after that.
Know that the one who prays after the night prayer has risen at night. Some of our predecessors used to pray there quite early in the night. However, rising after some sleep constitutes a defeat for the devil, an opposition to the ego, and contains a wondrous secret. This is the tahajjud which God commanded His messenger to do in His saying. Perform tahajjud by night as an act of...
I'm giving you a different translation than that difficult word there.
Act of...
That's what I'm saying, you can skip it. It's an extra act. An extra act.
For you. Okay, and then there's a number. It has been related that God's side to pray.
You can pass it on Parvez, inshallah. Yeah, yeah. He'll read that last line.
It has been related that God wonders at a servant who rises from his bed, from his wife's side, to pray. He, as a result, takes pride in him before his angels and turns his noble face towards him. Know that it is an ugly thing in the seeker of the hereafter not to rise in the night.
Read that again.
Know that it is an ugly thing in the seeker of the hereafter not to rise in the night.
One more time.
Know that it is an ugly thing in the seeker of the hereafter not to rise in the night.
Allahu Akbar. Wa'alam annahu yaqbuh. That even that word in Arabic. Yaqbuh. بطالب الآخرة ألا يكون له قيام بالليل. No, he's telling you, no, وعلم, know this. Imam al-Haddad is saying that it is ugly or disgusting of the one that claims, I'll put in claims in parentheses, to be a seeker of the hereafter. You know, I'm all about the hereafter. I'm looking for the hereafter. I want to go to paradise. I want to meet Allah. I want to be close to the Prophet ﷺ. The seeker of the hereafter, it's ugly for the seeker of the hereafter to not have standing in the night in prayer. To not have a portion of standing in the night in prayer. It's ugly. يَقْبُحُ. You know? SubhanAllah. كَيْفَ. If we could have them go upstairs maybe. كيف والمريد لا يزال طالبا للمزيد متعرضا للنفحات على دوام الأوقات. Maybe if one of the sisters could, they could, you know, let her calm down and come back, inshallah. كيف والمريد لا يزال طالبا للمزيد متعرضا للنفحات على دوام الأوقات. What's the next line after that?
How can he not, when a seeker should always be asking for more and exposing himself to his gifts at all times?
So when this seeker, when this person that's wanting to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how could they not stand in the night in prayer? When their whole purpose, the one that's seeking to be close to Allah and closer to the Lord of the heavens and the earth, their whole purpose is that they are putting themselves out for those mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're preparing themselves to receive the mercy of Allah. And how are you going to receive the mercy of Allah if you're not in the place that it's being distributed? And one of the greatest places that the mercy and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on distribution, if you will, on sale, for free basically. All you have to do is stand up in the night and pray and ask for it. And this is the time before Fajr we're talking about here. We're talking about before Fajr, but also before that, he said that anyone, or maybe he says it later, but that anyone that prays any time after Isha, any prayers done after the time of Isha is considered to be from praying at night, quote unquote. But the most superior way is to go to sleep first and then wake up. Because if you rewind just a little bit, go back a little bit, it says, وَقَدْ كَانَ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ. Some of our predecessors used to, read that part again.
some of our predecessors used to pray their wird early in the night.
The wird here is from the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that it's a practice that you do consistently. So there's a hadith in Abu Dawud or a Tirmidhi, excuse me, Abu Dawud or Ibn Majah. That's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man nasiya wirdahu min al-layl falyaqdiha idha asbah." That whoever forgets or was not able to do their wird, their regimen of daily, nightly prayer, let them do it when they wake up in the morning. You just add one extra rak'ah. So if you used to do 7 at night or 5 at night, because you do odd with the witr, right? Or 3 at night, or 9, or 11, or 13, or whatever it may be, then you pray one extra one in the morning, you do 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. So if you did 7, you do 8 in the morning. If you couldn't do it for some reason. But this is for the people that are consistent in it. That you always are doing 5, or 7, or 9, or 11, or 13, and you miss it one night, or you forget it, or you get busy, or something happens, you don't get to it, you make it up in the morning by adding one extra rak'ah. That's what the wird here is referring. So one second, let him finish this. The predecessors.
Some of our predecessors used to pray their wird early in the night. However, rising after some sleep constitutes a defeat for the devil.
So a defeat for the devil. So if you sleep first and then wake up, this constitutes an irgham lishaytan. Irgham, you know, it's a really strong word, you know. It's a defeat against him, right? And then the second one, mujahada lin nafs, the second one.
In opposition to the ego.
In opposition to the ego, because the ego wants to sleep. Your vain desires and your passions are boiling up at that time. You say, you know, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do it. So you're going against that as well. You're fighting against those inclinations. And wasirrun ajib, he says.
And contains a wondrous secret.
And a wondrous secret is in it. A wondrous secret. And those that know, know. And those that have tasted, tasted. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was commanded, he goes on to say, was commanded to pray this prayer. But his ummah, it's an option. It's optional. It's there for you if you want to take the advantage of it. And it's there for you to do it. But it was an obligation for the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He always used to do it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always used to wake up in the night in the prayer. And we'll read some hadith of Riyad al-Salihin. Maybe we're going to have to do that part next time. But that's okay. But there's one hadith I'll tell you now that everyone knows, and everyone, it's on the people that give khutbah's tongues and the teacher's tongues. But how many are actually living by the implications of this hadith? That Sayyidatina Aisha radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, wa ardaha. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night when he was praying, until his feet would swell, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, "Oh Rasulullah, oh Messenger of Allah, why are you doing this? Lima tasna'u hadha ya Rasulullah? Wa qad taqaddama qad ghafara Allahu laka ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has overlooked and forgiven everything from before and from after concerning you. Khalas. You're going, there's no doubt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to the highest level of Jannah. There's no doubt. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everyone knew that amongst the Sahaba. And every one of the Muslims knows that. So why are you doing this, Rasulullah? Why are you doing this? He said, "Afala akunu abdan shakura." Should I not be a grateful servant? That's knowledge. The gratitude section that came after the knowledge section, remember? Knowledge, right? Gratitude. That's gratitude. That's being thankful to God for the blessings that He has given you. So many blessings we have. La ilaha illallah. So many blessings we have in our children, in our living situations, in our food situation, in our financial situations, even if they're difficult. Alhamdulillah, I don't think anyone here in this room is living in a dumpster. I really don't think that. And if you are, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to know that you are so that we can help you. And I don't think anyone is really going through anything that's beyond their capacity to bear, even with time. Give it some time. You know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He doesn't bear a soul more than it can handle. It might be difficult right now, but inshallah there's light at the end of the tunnel, as they say, and inshallah it's not a train coming at you. So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So, and then there's a saying that verily Allah finds it amazing. He's amazed at the servant that stands up in prayer from his bed and leaves the side of his wife or spouse, and he comes up to pray to the Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts concerning this servant to his angels, and he directs his countenance to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs himself to that person. يُقْبِلُ عَلَيْهِ بِوَجْهِ. What does it say in the translation? Turns to him with something. It's the last sentence of that. It's after the verse.
After the hadith?
No, it's not hadith. It's Allah finds it wondrous, the servant.
Okay.
Amazed by. Read the whole thing. You don't see it?
Yes.
It's right where we were about the...
It has been related that God wonders at a servant who rises from his bed from his wife's side to pray. He takes pride in him before his angels and turns his noble face towards him.
He turns his noble face towards this person.
Mm.
You know, the countenance of God. SubhanAllah. La ilaha illallah. Then after he says, know that it is ugly for the seeker of the hereafter to not have a portion of prayer at the night. And so then he goes on. Let me see the English, inshallah, because we'll switch to the English. So that we don't take too much time for everybody. He says, now, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. For he has said, may blessings and peace be upon him. There is in the night a time. This is in Sahih Muslim. There is in the night a time that no Muslim servant of God encounters, in which he asks God for some good of the world or of the hereafter, but that he grants it to him. There's a certain portion of time that no servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corresponds with being awake and calling on Allah and supplicating Allah or making dhikr or asking for forgiveness or praying or being in tahajjud in the salah. There's a certain time of the wee hours of the morning at the end of the night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no Muslim, finds himself at that time asking Allah of the good of this world or the hereafter except that he gives it to him. And then what the Prophet ﷺ said, وَذَلِكَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ. And that is every night. It's not some, you know, only Laylatul Qadr or something like that. And that is every night. Every night. And it's in Sahih Muslim, it's authentic. In one of God's revealed scriptures, it is said, he has lied who claims to love me, but who will not, but when night falls, sleeps and leaves me. It's in one of the revealed scriptures of the past, other than the Quran. Imam al-Haddad is quoted. He has lied who claims to love me, but who when night falls, sleeps and leaves me. Does not every lover love to be alone with his beloved? Does not every lover love to be alone with his beloved? SubhanAllah. These are the people with hearts. You know, there was one of the great pious men of... Hadramaut in Yemen, where alhamdulillah we were blessed to be able to study for a period of time. And this man was one of my friend's grandfathers or great grandfather. And he came, he used to pray tahajjud every night. Every night he used to pray the night prayer. And one night, you know, and his whole family would hear, obviously, he's the father of the house, and they have very small homes. I mean, you know, probably the whole home is this whole area. You know, the kids are over there, the wife's over there. I mean, it's all very small. Yeah. They would see him pray. He was an example for the family. He would stand up and pray, and some of them would join in. Sometimes they wouldn't. They would be between sleep and being awake, or whatever it might be. So one night he was praying, he was engaged in tahajjud, and he came to the surah. He came to the verse in Surah Maryam, the end of the surah. And if you memorize the Quran according to the Medina script, it's at the top left-hand side of the page. In Surah Maryam at the very end it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجَعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. That verily indeed those that believe and do righteous deeds, the most merciful, the Rahman, will make for them pure love. Will give them pure love. Think of that verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجَعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. That verily those that believe and do good deeds, the Rahman, the most merciful Lord, will make for them pure love, will grant to them pure love. وُدَّ. وُدَّ. It's not حُب. حُب is love in Arabic, but وُدَّ is this pure, unadulterated, if you will, love. Divine love. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his names that we are not aware of, is not Al-Muhib. It's Al-Wadud. Which comes from the same word, Wud. He's Al-Wadud. He's the loving. Right? And who said we don't have love in Islam, mashallah? Shaykh Ismail ibn Ibrahim. So he recited that verse. That man that I was talking about in Yemen, my friend's great-grandfather or grandfather, he recited that verse until Fajr came. He couldn't get past it. He could not get past that ayah. So, if we have learned something of the Quran, you know, and maybe we, some of us might know a portion of the Quran, but until we have an interaction with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that level, then we need to check again what it is that we really know about the Quran. Look at this man. And there's many examples of that. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his tahajjud. We'll read one of those hadiths. Please remind me to read some of the hadiths from Riyadh al-Salihin about the tahajjud of the Prophet, the description of it. Please remind me, let's do that tonight, because I think it's definitely needed. In fact, we'll just do it right now, inshallah, so we don't forget. Listen to some of these hadiths about the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. I mean, this is really amazing. On the authority of Hudhayfa. And now Hudhayfa, you have to know. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. You have to know who Hudhayfa is. Hudhayfa is, they call him Sahib al-Sir. The one with the secret. What is the secret? That's what the Sahaba called him. What is the secret that he had? He knew the names of the hypocrites. He was given the names by the Prophet ﷺ of the hypocrites, but he was told not to tell the people. So the Sahaba, and who said there's no special knowledge that some of the Sahaba had and not other Sahaba, right? Some people try to say that. They don't think that there's any type of special knowledge. Abu Hurairah, and I think it's in Bukhari, Abu Hurairah said, the Prophet ﷺ gave me two containers of knowledge. One, I have spread it out amongst the Muslims. The other one, if I was to speak of it, the people would cut off my head. It's an authentic hadith. I can find it for you. I think it's in Riyadh al-Salihin. The Prophet gave me two containers of knowledge, Abu Hurairah said. One of them, I have taught to the people and I've spread that knowledge amongst the people. The other one, if I was to speak about it, they would have cut my head. What is that knowledge? And Sayyidina Ali was also given certain knowledge. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr was also given certain knowledge. Now here we have Hudhayfa. The other Sahaba did not know the names of the Munafiqeen. Only Hudhayfa knew. So the Sahaba said they used to watch carefully about Hudhayfa, whether or not he would pray the janazah, the funeral prayer, over someone. If Hudhayfa would turn away and not pray the janazah, then they knew that that person was one of the Munafiqeen. They used to watch Hudhayfa. They used to pay attention to him. Right? And then Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Who's Sayyidina Umar? Allahu Akbar. He came to Sayyidina al-Hudhayfa and said, during his khilafah, I believe, after the Prophet ﷺ had passed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Hudhayfa, tell me, am I one of them? And he's one of the 10 that were guaranteed paradise. Al-Ashara al-Mubashirin bil-Jannah. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Right? But he still asked, am I one of them? And I can't remember how he responded, but he said something like, I'll pray on you when you die, or something like that. You know, so he gave him an answer without telling him. You know, I can't remember exactly what the story said, but this is Hudhayfa. So Hudhayfa now, here, صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةً I prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one night. Alone. He prayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. Just him and the Prophet. How would that be? How beautiful would that be? Praying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so you know you're going to stand right near him, you know. Because you don't stand all the way in the back. You stand right up next to the person if there's only two people. So Hudhayfa was standing right next to the Prophet and he's reciting the word of Allah that was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَافْتَتَحَ الْبَقَرَةِ فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعْ عِنْدَ الْمِئَةِ ثُمَّ مَضَى So then he started with Surah Al-Baqarah. Number two, the longest surah in the Quran. I think it's three juz, almost. It is partially three juz. So he said, I thought when he started Baqarah that he would make ruku' at 100 ayahs. 100 ayahs. That's a significant portion. I think that's over a juz. Allahu A'lam. But he went on. He went on. فَقُلْتُ يُصَلِّي بِهَا فِي رَكَعًا By the way, this is in Sahih Muslim. This is in Sahih Muslim. It's authentic hadith. So he went on and he started to pray. So then he said, I thought that he would finish all of Baqarah, which is 2.5 juz or something, is that correct? It's 2.5 or 3. I thought that he would, you know, just do Baqarah and that's it. But he continued. And he started with, this narration says An-Nisa, which is out of order, but Allah knows what this is. I haven't looked at what the ulama said about that. Then he started with Surah An-Nisa, number 4. So he did all of Surah number 2. Fatiha is number 1. I mean, it's very short, obviously. Every rak'ah is recited. Surah number 2, and then he went to number 4, which is also, mashallah, very long. And he finished it. Then he went to Ali Imran, which is number 3. That's why I wish I could have some commentary on this. Maybe there's a different narration that put it in the correct order. Or if the Prophet ﷺ might have read it like that. I mean, whatever. Alhamdulillah, it's the Prophet ﷺ. But we usually read surahs in the order, right? Going from Fatiha to Nas. That's what usually people do. Then he started Ali Imran. And he finished it. So now we're talking about, I think it's about 5 juz'a. 5 juz'a of the Qur'an. That's 1/6 of the entire Qur'an. And we're still in the first raka'ah, by the way. We're still in the first standing. He hasn't bowed yet. He hasn't bowed yet. يَقْرَأُ مُتَرَسِّلًا Tartib. He's not reading with hadrama, they call it. He's not reading that fast reading. He's reading with tartib. مُتَرَسِّلًا. Right? No, we're not done yet. إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ فِيهَا تَسْبِيحٌ سَبَّحٌ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِسُؤَالٍ سَأَلْ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِتَعَوُّذٍ تَعَوَّذْ وَإِذْ ثُمَّ رَكَعْ. Now we have ruku. If he passed by any verse that had glorification of God, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَسَبَّحَ, he would make tasbih. He would glorify God. He would read that verse and then glorify God. If the verse contained glorification, he would stop and glorify God. And if there was a question in it, so if it said, you know, ask for this, or say this, or, you know, قُلْ, say this, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. He would say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. He would read that verse and then say what was asked of him in the verse. And if he passed by something that deserved seeking refuge from, like the hellfire, he would seek refuge in God from it. So if he passed by the hellfire verses about that, he would say, A'udhu billahi minan nar. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. Or anything of that nature. I wasn't there. But he would seek refuge in God in some manner, in some fashion, from those things, those harms and those evils that were mentioned, that were described in the Quran. Then he made ruku'ah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the bowing, he made the bowing. فَجَعَلَ يَقُولُ, then he said, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمُ. Glory be to the Magnificent One, my Lord. Glory be to the Magnificent One, my Lord. Glory be to my Lord, the Magnificent One. And his bowing, his ruku' was similar in length to his standing. Do we now understand who we're dealing with? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we now understand who Rasulullah is? He would bend in the ruku' and he would stay saying that, glory be to my Lord, the Magnificent. Glory be to my Lord, the Magnificent. Glory be to my Lord, the Magnificent. Similar to the time that he was standing for 5 juz'a, asking all those things in between, interspersed in the ayahs. Then he said he would come up, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Then he would stand similar to the length of his bowing. Then he made sujood. He would go down into prostration. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. Glory be to my Lord the Most High. Glory be to my Lord the Most High. Glory be to my Lord the Most High. When his forehead is on the ground, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكَانَ سُجُودُهُ قَرِيبًا مِنْ قِيَامٍ. And so his prostration was close to the time that he stood. Rawahu Muslim. Narrated by Sahih Muslim. Ya Allah, help us to know who your messenger truly was. Help us to know who your messenger was. Help us to know who your messenger was. And help us to love him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give us the love of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give us the love of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give us the love of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give us the reality of faith and the reality of certainty in our hearts, ya Rabbil Alameen. And help it, and show it, and help it to be expressed upon our tongues and upon our deeds, and in our deeds, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And here's that hadith that we quoted from Jabir bin Abdullah. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the messenger say, إِنَّ فِي اللَّيْلِ لَسَاعَةً لَا يُوَافِقُهَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَيْرًا مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهُ وَذَلِكَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ. It's in Sahih Muslim. That there is a time, verily, indeed, there is a time in the night that no Muslim corresponds with that time and happens to be asking for some good of this world and the next, except that he will give it to him. Except that he will give it to him, and that is every night. Every night. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. God is gracious. God is merciful. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to take benefit from that time. And the last hadith from this section on Qiyam al-Layl of Imam al-Nawawi, we've switched here obviously. Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. So we have the grandson of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab narrating this hadith. So it's Salim, the son of Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Right? He's narrating this hadith from his father, who is Abdullah ibn Umar. And Abdullah ibn Umar is Abdullah ibn Umar, mashallah. He's one of the Sahabi that followed the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam down to the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's. He loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, and he tried to follow him in every way, even externally and outwardly, and especially inwardly, of course. One of the greatest of the Sahaba. Now, listen to what was said. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger said, "Ni'mar rajul Abdullah, law kana yusalli min al-layl." What a great man Abdullah that one is, if he would only pray during the night. Imagine, this is Rasulullah saying that. So, he goes on to say in the hadith, Salim said, his grandson said, the son of Abdullah actually, but the grandson of Umar, but this is about Abdullah, his father. He said, so my father, well, Abdullah he called him, Abdullah is his father, after that, never slept at night except very little. And it's in Bukhari and Muslim. Muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon. It's the strongest possible hadith you can have, is Bukhari and Muslim. Together, both narrated this hadith. After he heard that, maybe it reached him from other people, or maybe he heard the messenger say it. Probably not, it sounds third party, doesn't it? It sounds like he's speaking about him and encouraging him, because they knew that those people would go tell him. We heard the Rasulullah said, "You're such a wonderful and great person, but only if you would pray at night." So when he heard that, alas, he only slept at night very little. All in prayer and dua and istighfar, la ilaha illallah and dhikr and everything. He was doing that all the way up until Fajr. La ilaha illallah. This is how our Sahaba were, the Sahaba of the Prophet. So he says here, Imam al-Haddad, going back to this book, Shaykh Ismail ibn Ibrahim al-Jabarti, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, God has gathered every goodness into the night. God has gathered every goodness into the night. And no sainthood, now this is not a bad word by the way, it just means no righteousness, this epitome of righteousness. Look up saint in the dictionary, it's not a bad word. And no sainthood was ever determined, i.e., in other words, formally granted, to a wali, to a saint, except by night. It was never administered or given out and said that this person now is one of the awliya of Allah, is one of those close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the righteous, of the pious, the awliya, except that it happened and that announcement was made during the night. And so what if that person is sleeping? They'll miss the announcement. They won't be selected. But if you're awake, then you'll get the deal, if you will. My master, he says, Al-Aidarus Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr has said, this is one of his teachers, or one of his predecessors, the one who wishes for lordly purity The one who wishes for lordly purity should break himself in the depths of the night. Should break himself in the depths of the night. Doesn't mean like break your arms. I mean break yourself, your ego, in the depths of the night. The messenger, although Sayyidina Sulaiman, it's narrated, the Prophet Sulaiman, salawatullahi alayhi wa ala nabiyyina wa salamu, that he said, oh Allah, in one of the traditions that's narrated from Solomon, he said, oh God, if I pass by a group of your servants that are calling on you and making dhikr, then break my legs to keep with them. In other words, if I go past them and I don't sit down, break my legs so that I sit down with them. This is narrated from Solomon. That, you know, faksir rijli dunahum. That's what it said in the Arabic. Faksir rijli dunahum. Yani, make my leg just collapse so that I sit down with them and don't pass them by. Because they're calling on Allah. Right? وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You know, it's Surah Al-Kahf, which we hopefully read today before Maghrib. That, and have patience with those that call on their Lord in the morning, in the evening. Right? They want the face of their Lord. They want the countenance of God. You know, have patience with them. Sit with them. Be with them. Those people that are making dhikr and calling on Allah. Sit with them. Be with them. Right? يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. They want the countenance of God. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. And don't let your eyes be diverted away from them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Looking after the vainglorious prettiness of the dunya. Don't divert your eyes from these people looking over the things of the dunya. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Right? Looking for the floweriness of the dunya. Stay with these people. Don't divert your eyes from them, let alone your heart. SubhanAllah. I mean, the Quran is really powerful. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. You know, don't let your eyes be diverted from them. SubhanAllah. La ilaha illallah. So, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, excuse me. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, God descends every night to the terrestrial heaven, to the lowest heaven, when only the last third of the night remains, and says, is anyone praying that I may answer him? Anyone asking that I may give to him? Until the break of day, until the break of dawn. So Allah is asking, is anyone seeking forgiveness? Is anyone seeking and asking? I will give to them. And this is in the last third of the night before Fajr. Had this been the only hadith exhorting to night vigils, it would have sufficed. So how must it be when the book, the Quran, and the Sunnah are full of encouragements and exhortations to it? If this hadith was the only hadith, the only saying that we had, just that one, it would have been enough, he said. But what should we say when the sunnah is filled with it? And also in the book, in the Quran. The Gnostics, there's that word again, the Arifin, have in their night vigils, now listen to this, the Gnostics, those that truly know God, they've experienced God. It's not just talk. It's not just words in a book. They've experienced the divine. The Gnostics have in their night vigils noble unveilings and subtle experiences which they receive in their hearts of the felicity of nearness to God, the pleasures of intimacy with Him, and of communing and conversing with Him. Exalted is He. One of them has said, one of these people, if the people of the garden are in a state, in paradise, if the people of paradise are in a state similar to ours in this world, they are indeed living pleasantly. I mean, think about what did these people taste? What did these people experience? That would lead them to say that if the people of Jannah, of paradise, are experiencing what we're experiencing now in these night vigils, then paradise is a pleasant life indeed. If it resembles this, then it must be a beautiful and wondrous place. That's what they're tasting. That's what they're experiencing. Ya Allah. And another has said, for the last 40 years, nothing grieved me but the break of dawn. For the last 40 years, this man is saying, nothing grieved me but the break of dawn. It means that the last third of the night is over. There's no more. You know, now it's time for Fajr, alhamdulillah. That is another act of worship, but it's different than the last third of the night. Because it stops. That call from Allah stops. It's on the last third of the night that Allah calls out like that. And then it stops. This felicity, happiness, occurs only after enduring the bitterness and hardships which are in these standings, these night vigils. As Utba al-Ghulam, a person of the past, said, I endured the night for 20 years, then enjoyed it for 20 more. I endured the night for 20 years. People want it like 20 minutes. They want everything to like be rectified like that. Because we live in a instant gratification society. Very materialistic society. Everything has to be like that. I struggled for 20 years in the standing at night. And I enjoyed it for 20 more. And he said, Tana'am. You know, this. He found ni'mah. He found great blessings in it. He found sweetness in it for 20 more years. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Should you ask, the Imam says, Imam al-Haddad, what should I recite during the night prayers and how many rak'ahs should I pray? Then know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no set recitation in his tahajjud. He didn't recite very, you know, particular ayahs. He recited from the Qur'an. It is good to recite the Qur'an one part after the other. Now he's giving you advice. We don't know of anything specific from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, but it's a good idea to start with the beginning and go through. And for those that didn't memorize the Qur'an or don't know the Qur'an, inshallah, Allah knows best, but it's okay since it's not an obligatory prayer that you can actually grab the mushaf. According to some madhahib, some of the schools of fiqh, you can take the mushaf and read from it. And if not, if that distracts you, or if you're of the opinion that you can't hold the mushaf in prayer, because there are some scholars who say that, if you're of that opinion, then work on your memorization, inshallah. And then if not, then, if you can't, then recite Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, mashallah, three times. Then make ruku', then get back up, then go in, then stand up again, Qul Huwa Allahu Qul A'udhu Birabbi Al-Falaq, three times. And then do that, and just do the whole night of the surahs that you know. And make dua a lot in your prostration, in your sujood. But don't not do it because you're not a hafiz of Qur'an or you don't know a lot of Qur'an. Do it regardless. So he says, it is good to recite the Qur'an one part after another so that you complete it in a month, or less, or more, according to your energy. So that means that he's saying that you should do at least a juz a night. At least one juz, which is 10, is it 10 or 20? 20 pages. To do a juz every night, 20 pages of the Qur'an from the Medina Mus'haf, that is. 20 sides. La ilaha illallah. As for the number of raka'as, or units, the maximum that has been related of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 13. 7 and 9 are also reported, but the most frequent figure is 11. So 13 was narrated from the Prophet that he used to do 13 rak'ahs, and it's also narrated that he did 7. It's also narrated that he did 9, and that could have been because he was traveling, or because there was something going on, or because somebody in the family was sick or whatever. That's why all these different things were narrated. People get distracted and confused. Why are there different narrations of the hadith? But they don't realize there might have been different circumstances upon which the Prophet ﷺ, because of which the Prophet ﷺ was reacting to. So it's been narrated 13, 7, 9. But the most frequent figure that seems to be the one that's solid is 11. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray 11. The total purport of all the relevant hadiths is that it is encouraged and recommended when you wake up for you to rub sleep off of your face, right? And I'm not saying that that's how the messenger did it, so I'm just saying that, you know, maybe the eyes or the face, there's no details here. Rub sleep off of your face with your hands and say, praised and thanks be to God. So the first thing that you do when you come into consciousness after you sleep, when you wake up, the first thing you do is you praise Allah. In any language, but if you can learn the hadith, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur, it's a good thing, and this is the hadith here. Praise and thanks be to God, who gave us life after causing us to die, and unto whom is the resurrection. And we told you that one in the Chowdhury house several months ago. Alhamdulillah. Here it is. It's coming back to haunt us, to give us encouragement to recite it for the sake of Allah. So that's the first thing that you do when you come into consciousness, is you wipe your face and you say this dua of the Prophet. Praise and thanks be to God who gave us life after causing us to die in our sleep, causing us to die, and unto whom is the resurrection. And recite the last verses of Surah Ali Imran, number 3. Surah number 3, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite those verses when he woke up before praying. Then brush your teeth with the miswak or with the toothbrush. But it's better to have the miswak because that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Perform a full wudu, full ablution, you know, for the prayer. And then pray 2 short rak'ahs. You start out, this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you start out with 2 short units of prayer. You don't go right into it and start doing baqarah, you know. You know, you pray 2 short units of prayer, and then you start your official tahajjud now. You know, it's amazing. It's like a warm-up, in a sense, you know, stretching out, getting ready for the, you know, the big prayers. And then add to them 8 long ones, he says. So pray 2 short ones, and then add to it 8 long ones. You can pray them in units of 2, or units of 4, or even do the full 8 with 1 salam, with 1 salutation. You know, all 8 straight, and then do salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum. Or you can do 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, or 4, 4, 4, 4, whatever it be. For all of these have been reported from the messenger. There's different states, different situations. If you then find that you still have energy, pray additional prayers. Pray any additional prayers that you may wish. Then pray 3 raka'ahs as witr. They call it shafi' and witr. He says, either with 1 salam or with 2. So in other words, you do 2 raka'ahs. It's called shafi'. Then you do salam, then you stand up and you do 1 more for witr, singular. Or, which is also the Hanafi position, you do all 3 together. You do all 3 together with 1 salam, which is fine. Recite in the first raka'ah, suratul a'la. Sabbihisma rabbikal a'la. That's in the first raka'ah, if you can. If not, any surahs. Again, these are recommendations from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it is the most praiseworthy to do it out of love and to follow him to the best of your ability. Especially with that aspect of love. I'm doing this because I love Rasulullah. And I want to be like him. And I want to say like he said. And I want to do like he did. And I want to be like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how you do it, out of love. And then secrets come from just intending that. Things come from just intending that. So you do Al-A'la first. And then the second raka'ah, you do Surat Al-Kafirun, which is Ya Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, that one. And then the third, you do Surat Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And the last 2 surahs. So the third raka'ah, or the witr, they call it, you do Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Those 3 in that one raka'ah. And it's permissible to recite 3 surahs in one raka'ah like that. And then he says, do not think that the witr, which is 11 raka'ahs all together, yani, is one thing, and the raka'ah as we have just mentioned is another. He's saying that only that which we have mentioned is reported to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his night prayers. We're telling you the sunnah of the Prophet, he's telling you. We're saying what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Know this, God is hearing, knowing. And it's amazing that he ended with those 2 attributes of God, that Allah is hearing and knowing. In other words, he hears the prayers and he knows who stands and who doesn't. He knows those people that stand and he hears the prayers. I mean, it's amazing that the Imam al-Haddad is a great scholar from about 300 years ago. He passed away in the year 1720 of the CE, the Common Era. 1720. You know, that's the 18th century, the beginning of the 18th century he passed away, rahimahullah. And he lived in Yemen, he lived in the valley of Hadramaut. Alhamdulillah, where we were honored to be able to study, and we visited his grave and gave him salams and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the Imam and to have mercy on him. Alhamdulillah, we stood right in front of his grave. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I mean, a great man, a great imam. La ilaha illallah, subhanahu. And he's from the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a direct descendant of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the lineage of Sayyidina al-Husayn. And he's a great Shafi'i, jurisprudent, and faqih, scholar. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us from his knowledge and the knowledge of all the scholars. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma anzur ilayna wa tahhin qulubana wa zakki nufusana. Anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. O Allah, rectify our states and purify our hearts. O Allah, rectify our states and purify our hearts. O Allah, rectify our states and purify our hearts. And beautify our character, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, thrust iman and faith and certainty into our hearts. Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, place certainty and strong, firm iman and faith into our hearts. Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, help us to be true Muslims both inwardly and outwardly. O Allah, purify our tongues and purify our hearts and purify our souls. And give us the spirit to obey you and to serve you and to serve the way of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through teaching and through da'wah and through explaining and through advice and through our good character. Ya Rabbil Alameen, show us the way to you. Ya Akram al-Akrameen, and help us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both inwardly and outwardly. O Allah, make us of those that stand in the last third of the night. O Allah, make us of those that stand in the last third of the night out of love and desire to be close to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and to follow in the way of your beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O Allah, make us of those that stand in the last third of the night and of those that you forgive, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, forgive us of our sins. O Allah, forgive us of our sins. O Allah, forgive us of our sins that you know. Ya Rabbil Alameen, waghfir lana warhamna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. واغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم واغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة الحمد لله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الحمد لله. Please forgive us for taking so long, but I think it's an important topic. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and forgive us all. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. May Allah help us to live by our words. May help us to live by what we heard.